This morning in a place that is not only a place that we gather, but it's a place to be in the presence of God. And it's a good to see each and every one of you this morning. If you'd be so kind, let's stand to our feet and we'll begin with a word of prayer. And then we'll enter our time of worship this morning. It's a wonderful Christmas season and we'll be singing some wonderful Christmas songs and some worship songs this morning. And I hope you're excited about worshiping God this morning. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you for a place, a local church where we can grow. And thank you, Father, for the privilege it is not only to just be in a place, but to be in your presence. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would guide every aspect of this service. We place it in your hands. Lord, you know the enemy hates what we're about to do. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just open our minds and that you would help us, Lord, to learn from your truth, from your word. Pray for the messenger. Pray for a pastor this morning as he delivers your message. Lord, may it be something that each heart, each life can grow from. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would also be in the time of worship, that we would truly worship you in spirit and in truth, and that, Father, everything that we sing about may it be true in our hearts, and, Father, may we grow through all that is done this morning. We place all this in your hands, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's begin singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Where he made the way.
That is the hope we have in Jesus Christ, that one day we will be in his presence and be with him there. Why don't we, as the piano continues to play, why don't we shake hands with one another and welcome each other this morning? It's going to be in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting us for the first time, or whether you're a regular member or attender, we want to say welcome to you this morning. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. It's a joy to see you at Bethany Baptist Church this morning.
Good morning. Isn't it awesome to be here? Aren't you guys happy? Merry Christmas, everybody. Awesome. If it's your first time visiting us, we want to say thank you so much, so much. Very thank you. Welcome to our church. We're glad to have you guys. We do have a pack. I don't have any right now. But if this is your first time, we do have a little gift for you guys that we would like to give all of you guys. These first timers. I am so sorry. I'm still a little bit nervous. Have a great rest of your morning, guys. And let's continue praising the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, the angel, for that welcome this morning. We're going to continue worshiping this morning, and we're going to sing this song, The First Noel. And I don't know if we want to sing all six times. All right, let's sing media back there, first, second, third, and last. All right, so first, second, third, and last. And Luke 2:11 says, unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And let's worship together singing The First Noel.
Season, we remember his birth and what it means for mankind that he came to this earth. He came to this earth for a purpose, for a reason, because 33 and a half years later, he would be raised up on a cross and he would die for the sins of the world. 3 days later, he would raise from the dead. Let's sing this last song this morning about
about the power of the cross.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of blood. This the power of the cross. Christ became
time, not through singing, but through giving. And it's always a blessing to be able to give in worship to the Lord. In fact, the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so this morning, it's our blessing to be able to participate in an offering in which we give and worship God through it. And so this morning, I do want to just remind you that giving not only is a blessing, but giving is also something that reflects our love for God. And hopefully this morning as we give, we will give with a heart that says, God, I love you. God, thank you. That says, God, you are good to me. And that's what this time of worship and the offering is all about. So why don't we pray and ask God to bless this time of worship as we give to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much once again for your many blessings. Thank you for allowing us to be here in your house. And Father, there's really no better place to be than here in your house. I pray that as we now get our hearts prepared to give and to worship through giving, I pray that as we give, we would give with a heart of love for you. That this offering would be a reflection of not only our heart towards you, but also our thankfulness. Because God, you've been so good to us. And what a joy it is to be able to worship you through this time of giving. I pray that you would receive these offerings and multiply them, and as they're used for the furtherance of your gospel, as they're used to support different missionaries around the world, as they're used to reach our community here with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And especially during this time of year, during the Christmas season, we want to do our very best to have everyone know here in our community what the true meaning of Christmas is, what it is that we're actually celebrating. And so, Father, I pray that these offerings would have a part in that as we do our very best to fulfill that commandment that you gave us to go and reach our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I pray that you bless this offering and bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2, and as you're turning there, if you've not received a bulletin this morning, just raise your hand, and the ushers will get one right to you. And it's important to have a bulletin because in the bulletin, you'll find the notes for the message this morning. And that way, as we study God's Word together, if you have the notes, you can write down some things that maybe I don't say, but the Holy Spirit says in your mind, and you begin to write some of these things down in your notes, and hopefully it's something you can come back to later in the week and just refer to and really just meditate upon. So if you don't have the notes, just raise your hand and the ushers will come right by where you're at and give you the notes so you can study along with us. Matthew chapter number 2, we're starting a brand new series today called A Joyful Christmas. And I know last week, Brother John got us started. And I do want to say thank you to Brother John for the last 2 weeks. I got to see the services and the message on YouTube, and it was great. What a blessing both messages were. And if you haven't heard them, I would encourage you to go by the YouTube and go to the church YouTube channel and watch both of the messages. They were such a blessing to me, and I know they'll be a blessing to you. But he got us kicked off last week on the Christmas season, what Christmas is all about there in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to continue with, of course, that theme throughout this month. And the series is called A Joyful Christmas. And so we're going to start here in Matthew chapter 2. with one of the most well-known Christmas stories in the Bible, the story of the wise men. And it's found, of course, here in Matthew chapter 2. So we're going to read verse number 1 all the way down to verse number 11. And I'll just read it out loud, and you can follow along there in your Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, a lot of the scriptures will be, if not in your notes, they'll be on the screen as well. And that way you can see what God's Word says there and read for yourself what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Let's pray. Father, as we study your word now this morning, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray, first of all, that you would fill me with your spirit, and I would be able to communicate the message that you have laid on my heart, that it would be something that would be an encouragement and a help to your people this morning. But then I also pray that you would touch our hearts, that we would be receptive to your word, that we would not only be hearers of your word, but doers also. And as we study your word this morning, I pray that we would be focused on what it is that you would have us to learn and grow in today. Speak to us, I pray. And Father, be with us now during this service. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Christmas is a joyous time. It's a time of singing, a time of fellowship. It's a time of kind of cheering, a time with family. It's a time when you get together and you begin to create memories. It's just one of the most joyous times of the year. And in fact, one of the big reasons for joy, if we're honest, all right, and most of us should be honest in here this morning, you are in church. If you're honest, you'll say one of the things you love about Christmas is the gifts, right? Everybody loves gifts, all right? I don't care if you're a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, or a 93-year-old, everybody loves gifts. We like receiving gifts. It's something about the Christmas time and the Christmas season that when you're receiving gifts, it's just, I don't know, it's a lot more joyful. Usually the gift is wrapped. It's not somebody just giving it to you in a Walmart bag. It's something bigger, something greater. There's something to it. And if we're honest, we say, you know, Christmas, one of the reasons it's so joyous is because of the gift. But you know, there's something about giving a gift also that makes it very joyous. Receiving gifts is fun. Receiving gifts is a good time. But you know, giving a gift is just as good. In fact, sometimes I feel like it's greater than. The joy that you receive from giving a gift many times is greater than the joy you get from giving a from getting a gift. But of course, you know, when it comes to gifts, you want to make sure that when you're receiving a gift or giving a gift, that it's a good gift, a genuine, a real gift. You know, unlike a guy that I heard about that went to the store one Christmas and went to buy his wife a diamond ring and bought it and went back home. And he was telling one of his friends about that, one of his close friends. And his close friend, of course, was very shocked and surprised. And he said, I thought your wife wanted one of those sporty four-wheel, you know, all-wheel drive vehicles, you know, the nice SUVs. He said, I thought that's what she wanted. And the man said, well, yeah, I know that's what she wanted, he said, but where was I going to find a fake Jeep? When you give gifts, you want to give something real, right? You don't want to give the thing that looks like something else. You want to give the real thing. Because, you know, there is a lot of joy when it comes to giving. And this morning, as we study Matthew chapter 2, we're going to find what it is. What are those secrets that come with finding joy? What makes giving so joyful? What makes it something that brings to your heart that happiness that really nothing else can give you? Well, I want you to notice this morning three truths that make giving so joyful in Christmas. Notice, first of all, in your notes, that giving is joyful when you are following God's leading. It's joyful when you're following God's leading. Now, I want you to notice in this story that's probably very familiar to most of us here, but the Bible says that there was a star that came out that the wise men saw, and as they went to look for the king, they went looking for him because of the star that appeared. It was the star that really led them to the place that they were going to go and give. And you know, when it comes to giving in our life, it's important to understand that if you're going to find joy in giving, you're only going to find it as you follow God's leading in your life. You see, joyful giving begins with God's leading in your life. Now, I don't know what God might be leading you to give to. I don't know what he's led you to give to already this year. I know as a church, we throughout the year had different projects that we gave to. If you remember in May, we took a one-time offering for the building that is now up right here across the way. And I believe about $24,000 or $25,000 came in on that one Sunday. And it was such a joy. If you participated in it, you know how joyful that was. But before we got to that Sunday, we began to just to tell everyone, listen, if the Lord's leading you to participate in this, then we want you to give. And I was so thankful that Sunday morning, as countless people here in our church heard the leading of the Lord, followed the leading of the Lord, and began to give that Sunday. And that offering was something of a help and a blessing to get that building up. And then if you continue going out throughout the year, you know there's plate sales that we do for camp and so many different projects that we have throughout the year that we always ask, is the Lord leading you to give to that? And if the Lord's leading you to give, then you ought to give to it. And it's something about giving when the Lord's leading you to give that is very joyous. Now, I don't know in the Christmas season, as we enter the Christmas season this year, I don't know what it is that the Lord is leading you to give to. But I know that the Lord always leads us to give to someone. He always leads us to give to something. You see, because God is a giving God. The God of the Bible is not a selfish God. The God of the Bible is a giving God. And so as he leads you in your life, you'll find that God will many times lead you to give to someone or to something. And I wonder this morning, is God leading you to give to someone or something in this Christmas season? Now you might say, well, how do I know when God is leading me? And that's a great question. How do we know if we're going to be giving, if we want to find joy in our giving, we got to follow God's leading, but how do I know what God's leading me to? How do I know God's leading? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, in your notes, that God's leading always follows his word. It always follows his word. Now, I want you to notice that it was God that put that star in the sky that the Magi saw, that the wise men saw and began to follow after. It was God that put that there, and it was God's leading by his word, because we know that Genesis chapter 1 says that God put the stars in the sky by his word, by the word of his mouth. We find that the wise men were being led by God, but God's leading was through his word. In order to know if God is leading you to give to something or someone, you must ask yourself, is this something that is according to God's word? In other words, is this something that God would want me to do, that God has asked me to do, or God has commanded me to do? Is this something that God is wanting me to be a part of? You see, joyful giving is found in the fact that we are giving by pleasing God as we follow His leading, as we follow what His word commands. Now, I want you to notice in your notes in 2 Kings chapter number 23, there was a time in Israel's history there in 2 Kings when they began to give offerings to rebuild the temple and to get the temple where it needed to be. There was a string of kings and a time in history in Israel's history where they had a lot of wicked kings, kings that were not following what God had said. They were not following God's leading. But then there was a king by the name of Josiah that God put on the throne. And it says that Josiah began to follow the words of the Lord. And notice what it says in verse 24 of 2 Kings 23. It says, "Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away that he might perform," and notice this, "that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord." You notice that Josiah was following what God had led him to do. God's word said this and this and this is the way you ought to live. This and this and this is the way you ought to lead your life and give. And Josiah began to teach the people, this is what we're going to do. And if you continue reading the history of Josiah, he began to receive of the people the offerings for the temple. And as it was moving forward and going forward in that ministry. And you know, any time that we begin to follow God's leading, you'll find joy in your giving. And that leading always starts with the word of God. You see, because not all giving is pleasing to the Lord. Not all giving is pleasing to the Lord. You say, what do you mean not all giving is pleasing to the Lord? See, when we give to something God is not leading us to give to, in other words, something that is not according to His word, it does not please Him. There's a story in the book of 1 Samuel when King Saul was going and fighting the Amalekites, and God told King Saul, "I want you to destroy them all. I want you to destroy all of their oxen and all of their sheep and all of their people, and so they are under my judgment, and you're to destroy them all." Well, when Saul got the victory that God had promised him, instead of destroying them all as God had commanded Saul to do, Bible says that he kept some of the best sheep and the best oxen, and he kept King Agag alive. And so the prophet Samuel came to confront him, and he said, "Saul, did you do what God said?" He said, "Oh yeah, I did what God said." And he said, then why do I hear sheep and why do I hear oxen?" And he said, those. Well, I kept those because we're going to offer them to the Lord. It's going to be something for Him. You see, I'm going to give it to Him. And notice what Samuel told Saul about that. Saul was saying, "Hey, I'm just going to give to the Lord." You see, but not all giving pleases God. You see, when giving is not according to the word of God, what God has taught, what God has showed and commanded in His word, it is not pleasing to God. Though the thought might be nice, though giving itself might be a good thing, yet what you give towards isn't always good if it's not according to God's word. And notice what Samuel told him. In verse 22, he says, "And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion," he says, "is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected," he said, "the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king." You say, how do I know what God's leading me to? How do I follow God's leading in giving? Well, ask yourself, is this something according to God's word? You say, well, why do we give to church in the offering? Because the Bible says that on the first day of the week, there in 1 Corinthians 16, that they came into the house of God and gave of the first fruits. Why do we give to special projects like camp? Because God says, hey, we ought to reach the children. Let the children come unto me. Why? We want to give them the gospel. We want to give them the truth of the word of God. You see, what you give towards ought to be something that follows what God has said. Now, not all giving is only in church. You know, there are some times where there are charities and organizations that we give to that are doing things that would be according to the word of God. They may not be a church, but they're doing an organization that is following maybe what God has called them to do. You say, but God's leading always leads according to his word. But let me also say that God's leading brings his providence. It brings his providence. You'll notice that the wise men went to Jerusalem, but that was the wrong city. That wasn't the city where the king was at. That wasn't where Jesus, the Savior, was born. Now, you might ask, why did they go there first? Well, if you read the story carefully, you'll find that they saw the star. That's past tense. And if you continue reading in verse number 9 and verse number 10, it says, and the star appeared again. That means there was a gap in the time when they saw the star where it disappeared for a while. And in that time of disappearance, they thought, well, we know there's a king that was born. The star appeared to us. We know that he is in Israel, so let's go to the capital. That's probably where he's at. And they went to Jerusalem. But you know, in all of that, it was God's plan, because you see, through that, God led them to Bethlehem. You see, God's providence came. That is, God intervening, God's protection, God's control, God's plan was perfect for them to go to give where they were going to give and to get where they were going to get. You see, God's leading always brings his providence with it. Always. Genesis 24, verse 27, you remember Abraham's servant? Abraham's servant was given the task, I want you to go find a wife for my son Isaac. And he goes off, and I want you to notice in verse 27 what he says. He said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And then he says, I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now, he didn't know exactly where he was going. He just knew, I got to go and find a wife for Isaac. And he went back to where Abraham, his master, had commanded him to go. And he said, well, God, I'm here. I want to do what Abraham has asked me to do. But I don't know where this girl's going to be. I don't know exactly how it's going to work out. And he began to pray. And through that prayer, God answered his prayer. And this was his testimony. He said, I, being in the way, the Lord led. You know, if you're going to find joy in your giving this Christmas, you're going to have to find it, first of all, by giving according to God's leading in your life. And his leading comes by his word. Is it in accordance to what he has said in his word? And it always comes by his providence. We do something in our church every year in which we commit ourselves to our missions program. That means we do our very best to support missionaries that are planting churches all around the world in different countries and in different languages that we could never go to and perhaps we'll never have an opportunity to go to. But our missions program is established so that the money that comes in, we can send it off to those that are there in those countries doing that work, and we support them through it. And it's something that is always a blessing to be a part of. But what I have found, at least in the years that I've been participating in our missions program, is that we have our conference, or we have an emphasis on missions on a weekend or something. And what we'll do is we'll ask each and every one of us the question, how much am I willing to commit this year and promise to give to this missions program? And we're always challenged to give by faith what we think God is leading us to give. And sometimes the amount that God lays on our heart seems like a big amount. And by the way, God's giving is always something that's going to challenge us. And in that challenge, you go and you put down the number that you feel God is leading you to give to. And as you do that, suddenly you realize maybe halfway through the year, I don't know if I can fulfill this commitment. I don't know, maybe I put down too much at that conference. Maybe I got too excited and you're saying, God, now I have these bills and these things have happened throughout the year and I don't know if I can finish the promise giving that I promised I was going to give during that special emphasis on missions. But you know what I have found participating in that missions program, giving sometimes and promising more than sometimes I thought I could give, is that God always supplies providentially what I needed to fulfill my promise. God always does that. You see, because when you're following God's leading, when you're doing and giving according to God's word, then God will always make sure that you have what you need to fulfill that. That's his providence in your life. We see that the wise men, as they went to Jerusalem, saw God's providence, and they were sent to Bethlehem, and the star appeared again to show them where that king was at, the king, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say this morning, giving is joyful, but if you're going to find joy in giving, it's got to be giving according to God's leading in your life. But then I want you to notice, secondly, giving is joyful when your heart is in it. Giving is joyful when your heart is in it. You see, the wise men had been searching on this journey for the king for more than a year. If you read the story carefully, you'll find that King Herod asked them, and when did the star appear? And you'll, if you read further down, the King Herod sends out his soldiers to kill all the children in Bethlehem that were 2 years old and younger. That means that these wise men must have told him, we've been you know, on this journey for a while, more than a year now. It's so important for us to understand, if you're going to have joy, your heart's got to be in it. You know, if they didn't have a heart to go to the king, to worship the king, to give to the king, they would have quit a long time ago. I don't think that they would have risked everything if they didn't have a heart for him. You see, if you're going to have joy in giving, your heart's got to be in it. You got to be wholeheartedly all in, as we say. Now, how do you do that? Well, your heart is all in there in your notes when you have love. When you have love in your life. You see, the wise men were looking for the king because they loved him. They hadn't met him. They didn't know exactly where he was at. They were looking for him for more than a year. But you know what? They didn't quit 6 months in. They didn't quit 9 months in. They didn't quit 11 months in. They didn't quit 12 months in. They were going to go and search for that one whom they loved. You see, your heart can be all in when you have love for who you're giving to or what you're giving to. I want you to notice that love will keep you going. It'll keep you giving. It'll keep you joyful in your heart as you give. Notice what what the Bible says there in 2 Kings chapter 23, going back to Josiah. 2 Kings 23, verse 25, "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord," look at what it says, "with all his heart." Man, if you want to find joy in giving, then your heart's got to be in it. Now, I don't know, because I don't have that power to see into your heart when it gets time to receive the offerings here in the service. I have no idea how you give. But there is one, the Bible says, that knows the heart. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, it says, "I, the Lord, know the heart." In verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked." But then in verse 10, it says, "But I, the Lord, try the reins, and I know the heart." You see, if you're going to have joy in giving this Christmas, can I say, you're going to have a heart for it. You're going to have a heart of love. Just like Josiah, he said, "Man, we're going to give, we're going to do what God says, and we're going to do it not just half-heartedly, we're going to do it wholeheartedly, with all of our heart." And let me tell you something, there's something different when you give with all your heart. There really is. I know I've experienced this, and you don't have to be a parent to experience this, but I know once you have your kids and you give them a gift, and Christmas is so much more fun now for me when you have kids, because when you give them a gift, I mean, the joy that they have in that, it makes you happy. It just does. There's something about it, giving that gift to your son or your daughter, and suddenly, man, you're so excited that they liked, you know, the little, you know, fire truck or whatever it is that you gave them, and you almost want to go and play with them or just take pictures and put it on Instagram or whatever. You just, there's a joy there. And the reason there's so much joy there when you're giving it to that, to your son or daughter, as opposed to when you're giving it to someone else many times, is because your heart's behind it. I'll be honest with you. I started working when I was 18 years old. And so since I've been 18, I'm 36 now. In 18 years, all right, 18 years, I've paid my taxes every year, but I've never had the joy of it. You just do it because you got to do it. But you know, when you give something and your heart is in it, there's love in it, it changes everything. There's joy. Can I say, your heart is all in, not only when you love, but when you sacrifice. When you sacrifice. You see, not only did these wise men love the king, they were willing to sacrifice everything for him. If you read any kind of history, you'll find that the road from the east going to Israel, going to the Middle East there, was a dangerous road. It wasn't a road that everybody liked to take. It wasn't one that was guaranteed safety every time. It wasn't something that you could kind of do without ever thinking about it. No, it was a conscious decision to say, we're going to go. And this might take us longer than a year, but we're going to go and we're going to risk everything. They were going to risk their possessions. They were going to risk their provisions. They were going to risk their very life to find this king, to give to the king. You see, your heart can be all in when you're willing to sacrifice all that you have. In Exodus chapter number 25, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering, and of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart, ye shall take my offering." Moses said, if you're willing to give, if you're willing to sacrifice, bring it in. Bring it in. You know, there's joy in giving when you're all in with your heart. And all in is saying, I love it. And all in is saying, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to go without something. I'm willing to lose something in this gift. Man, you won't find great joy without it. You won't. You'll find that giving is just kind of giving, but not joyful unless your heart is in it. I heard about a man that was on vacation strolling along outside his hotel, and suddenly, he was attracted by these screams of a mom that was kneeling in front of a child. And the man knew right away, just from her screams and looking at the child, that the child had swallowed a coin. And of course, seizing the child by the heels, the man ran up, got the child by the heels, held him up, and gave him a few shakes and hit him on the back. And finally, that quarter just, boom, dropped to the sidewalk. And the woman cried, "Oh, thank you, sir, thank you. You seem to know just what you were doing in this situation." She said, "Sir, are you a doctor? Are you a pediatrician?" The man looked at her and he said, "No, ma'am, I work with the IRS. They can get every penny out of you, can't they? You know, giving shouldn't ought to be somebody patting you on the back and trying to force it out of you. Giving ought to be something that you're willing to do with all your heart. That's the secret to joyful giving. It's not the secret to giving, because you can give without being joyful. Oh, but the secret to joyful giving is doing it with your heart. It's following God's leading. It's doing it with your heart. But I want you to notice, thirdly and lastly this morning, giving is joyful when you give that which is yours. You get down to verse number 11 in the story, and the wise men now have found the king. They had followed his leading. They had gone with all their heart, risking everything, and now they found him. The Bible says that they fell down and worshiped him, and they got gifts for him. The giving to him. I want you to notice that the wise men gave of that which was theirs. They weren't giving somebody else's money. It wasn't, hey, who's going to give? Let's get a collection. Who's going to give to this child? The wise men were looking at others' to see what they were going to give. No, the wise men took of their own treasures. Look at in verse number 11. I want you to notice this. It says, and when they had opened their treasures. Not someone else's, but theirs. See, it was their heart. It was their sacrifice. It was their gift. You see, giving what is yours is a personal decision. It's a personal decision. Notice that no one forced these wise men to give. And when you decide to give that which is yours, that decision can only be made by one person. You. You. You can give that which is yours willingly. Since you own it, no one can tell you, you can't give that. No, it's up to you. It's yours. You decide. Man, if you want to be joyful in giving, let me tell you, give of what is yours. Make sure that you're giving of what God has given you. See, give of your treasures, of your gifts. Matthew chapter 26 tells a story of a woman that did just that. It says, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. This woman found Jesus. In different passages, like in Luke and Mark, when they share this story, they say that that ointment was very expensive. Some believe it was probably at least a year's worth of earnings. In other words, your salary. Can you imagine if you make $50,000 a year, just some perfume that costs $50,000? Or if you make $20,000, a $20,000 bottle of perfume, that's what this lady had. And she did it not because she was forced to, not because she saw everybody doing that and now I'm just going to copy them. No, it was something that was precious to her, but she said, man, I want to give this to the king. Man, she found more joy in that giving than she would have if she would have used it the rest of her life. Just a little here and a little there. And by the way, she got very criticized for it. If you read the story, you'll find Jesus' own disciples were criticizing her. Why did she do that? Why is she giving all that? I mean, she could have sold that and given to the poor. She could have done so many other things with it. And Jesus said, hey, stop. She did it for me. And he said, wherever the gospel is going to be preached, you'll know about this woman. This woman who gave of her treasure. Who made this personal decision. And let me just say this morning, you're going to find joy in your giving this Christmas season when you give of what is yours. When you give of what is yours. You say it's a personal decision that you have to make. But can I say giving what is yours also reflects your desire. It reflects your desire. I love the fact that these wise men, they didn't give of like their used clothing and what they were done with in their house. They gave the very best. They gave gold, the king's gift, and frankincense and myrrh. I mean, these were very expensive things. They weren't giving God leftovers. They were giving them their best. It reflects, by the way, what their desire was. Their desire in their worship was, I want to worship God with the very best that I have. I want to give God the very best that I have. You see, joyful giving moves us to give that which is most precious to us. It always does. Always. By the way, you say, well, how did these wise men learn that? Where did they learn to give this way? What was it that taught them to give in this manner? And how did they find the secret of joyful living? I'll tell you, it's very simple. They learned it from the truth of God's word. You see, if you read God's word, you'll find even from the very beginning on that first book in the book of Genesis, when you read the story of Adam and Eve and as they fell into sin, as they disobeyed God, you find that from that very chapter, God promised them a gift, a Savior. You see, if you walk with God, the Bible says, if you're walking with God, God begins to mold you. And God begins to make you more into His image. And you know, God is a giving God. I said that earlier. God is a giving God. And when God gave to us, He didn't do it selfishly. He did it freely. You'll find that God did it with all of His heart. In fact, the Bible says it this way, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know what the greatest part about Christmas is the gift of Jesus Christ. There's no greater joy than finding Jesus this Christmas. And let me just say, if you have not found Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then today is the day to find that joy. You see, because that's what Christmas is all about. It's God giving, and God giving joyfully. Giving to people that did not deserve it. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. And yet, God showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christmas is all about the joy of giving. God is all about the joy of giving and giving the very best, His only Son. Why did He give Him? To pay for your sin and for mine. That we might have a relationship with God. The Bible says, for as many as call upon Him, them shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning I wonder, have you received that gift? Do you have that joy in your heart this morning, the joy of the gift of Jesus? Let me tell you, there's no greater gift that you can get this Christmas. No iPad is good enough or big enough or nice enough. No computer can replace it, no car, nothing. Jesus is that greatest gift. And this morning, if you've not received that gift, I hope you'll make a decision to. I hope you will. You see, this Christmas, as you enjoy all the joys of family and singing and fellowship and cheer, let me just encourage you to discover the joy of giving. Don't make Christmas, this Christmas, all about me. What are they going to buy me? What am I going to get? Who's going to give me what? No. Listen, Christmas will be so much joyful if you just discover the joy of giving. This Christmas, it starts with God's leading. Say, God, where would you want me to give? What would you want? God, what do you want me to give to? And let me just challenge you in a practical way. Would you find a project at church to give to? We have our gift to Jesus coming up on the 22nd, December 22nd. I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord, Lord, would you lead me as to what amount I should give in that offering? But then I also want to just give you another tidbit, and look for something outside of church that you can give to that would be a good cause. Maybe an orphanage or something of that nature, a cancer research center, something like that. But find something to give, because let me tell you something. You'll find joy this Christmas when you give that way. You see, it starts with God's leading. It continues with a heart that is all in, and it ends when you give what is yours. So I don't know what God's leading you to give to this Christmas. But I want to encourage you, find the joy of giving. Because it'll be the best Christmas you've ever had when you do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the truth of your word. Father, this morning, we've looked at the story of these wise men. And on that very first Christmas, they went and discover the joy of giving. Man, what great truths are in that passage that they lived out. And that, Father, we could have that same joy if we begin to live it out in our life. And so I pray that you would help us to apply those truths and those principles of giving joyfully into our life. Father, I pray that you would just bless this quick invitation. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and the piano plays just one stanza. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I can't think of a time. As you're talking about giving and you're talking about God's giving. You know, I can't think of a time where I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I can't think of a time where I've accepted that gift of salvation. But you know, Pastor, I'd like to receive that gift this Christmas. Would you just pray for me? I'd like to know that Jesus is my Savior. Is there someone like that? So just pray for me. Is there anyone like that? Then perhaps this morning you're saying, you know, God's been so good to me. He's given me salvation. He's given me His Son. But He's given me so much more. And this Christmas, Pastor, would you just pray for me? I want to discover the gift of giving, the joy of giving this Christmas. Would you just pray that I would be able to apply that in my life this year? Would you pray for me? Is there someone like that? Would you just raise your hand? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you all over. God bless you. God bless you. This morning, Father, you've seen the hands and you've seen the hearts. Father, I'm there with them. I pray that you would help us in this Christmas season to always remember the joy that comes in giving. And help us to do it, Father, according to your will, according to your leading. Help us do it lovingly, sacrificially, and help us, Father, to do it of our own, with what you have blessed us and given us. Help us, Father, to live and share in the joy of giving. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.